have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
And now it's time for our Faithful Financial Moments with Sister Sharon Richard.
This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. One of the most devastating experiences faced by many is the loss of value in their investment accounts. Monies that were invested to save for retirement decreased in value as the stock market fell. Others, with investment in real estate, as the real estate market collapsed, saw their value lost as property market values fell to levels below the amount of debt owed on them. Investment is acceptable and quite honestly expected by God. In Luke 19, 12 through 26, you may recall the parable of the talents, when the stewards who wisely turned the gifts that they received into even greater value were commended and further rewarded. The steward that simply stored up what was given to him by his master, only to return equal value of what was given, was chastised. Parable tells us that the management of wealth requires that it be invested or multiplied. So the question is always, how do we determine where to invest? First of all, we must pray and depend on God for his wisdom and his direction. No one can predict the markets, so we must direct ourselves to the gentle whisper of our Lord and Savior. Secondly, we must diversify our investments in accordance with Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 2, which tells us to invest in seven ventures, yes, and eight. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. This requires allocation of assets in different types of investments that will likely react differently to market conditions and will reduce the risks in your portfolio. Third, you should use minimal or ideally no debt. God tells us that debt puts us in the position of slave to the lender. We must also ensure that we understand the investments that we choose. Generally, people lose money when they invest in something that they do not understand. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 2, we are reminded that desire without knowledge is not good. How much more will hasty feet miss the way? Some choose stocks for investments based on products that they enjoy. This is certainly a viable way to develop an initial list of potential stocks to invest in. Still go further by researching the strength of the company and or seek the advice of experienced Christian advisors. Finally, we must follow God's principles of planning and patience. Most solid investments take time to yield a good return. When God's principles guide us, greed does not influence our investment decisions, and we have a peace that does not make room for fear. Seek God first. Diversify your portfolio and minimize debt in making investment decisions. Your wisdom will be rewarded. This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your Gospel News, followed by the Pastor's Corner with your host, Bishop Ernest E. Richard Jr., and introducing Pastor Anna Henderson.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nina Taylor with this week's Gospel News. Ohio vocal trio Half Mile Home makes dynamic R&B and hip-hop infused gospel music. Half Mile Home features siblings Terrence and Todd Burton, along with Youngstown native Darryl Brownlee. The Akron-based group initially came together in the early 90s with the goal of launching a mainstream R&B career. Going under the name 1-900, they released a self-titled album in 1994. Following the label shakeup, the group reformed as After the Rain and toured with the likes of Gerald Levert and Genuine. However, growing increasingly dissatisfied with the aspects of the secular music industry that went against their church upbringing, Terrence Burton and his bandmates eventually decided to return to the gospel music of their youth, renaming themselves Half Mile Home, a name inspired by a highway sign just outside of Akron. They released their 2004 debut full-length album, The Movement, featuring the single Do It Again. Half Mile Home then returned with several more albums, including 2010's Change My Life, 2013's Church Music and Inspiration. In 2014, Church Music and Inspiration was re-released in a deluxe version featuring new songs and remixes. Brandon Anderson is an American singer, songwriter, musician, actor, entrepreneur, teacher. He is most known for being the founder and member of the international award-winning and chart-topping group G.I. For the last decade, the group dominated the Billboard charts, racking in millions of music sales, streams, and touring the world, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Armed with their melodious voice, guitar, and pen, Naomi Rain is on a mission to spread the love of God through song. Singing since the age of 4 and songwriting since the age of 7, Naomi has always found it easiest to communicate the intricacies of life through lyrics and melodies. Her strong desire to see the body of Christ united and operating in power fuels her relentless drive to make music that penetrates the heart and inspires a thirst to worship God in spirit and in truth. This is evident in her previous releases, 2015's Heart Songs Volume 1, My Heart and Songs Volume 2, her 2017 sophomore project Heart and Songs Volume 2, Adoration, premiered at number 10 on iTunes Christian and Gospel charts, and at number 17 on the Billboard Gospel Album Sales charts. An impressive feat for an independent artist. Pastor Benjamin Dube, born in Johannesburg on January 23, 1962. He's a South African gospel recording artist who rose to fame in the early 80s. A chart-topping award-winning minister, singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, and music producer from South Africa. He has mentored hundreds of musicians in his homeland and is regarded as one of the country's most significant recording artists in religious music. He grew up on stage performing with his siblings and parents in the Dube Family Singers and later carried on the tradition performing with his three sons who record and perform with him as the Dube Brothers. Dube established himself as a solo act in 1986 with his third single, Holy Spirit, a crossover hit on local radio stations, secular and religious. 2 years later, his Ebenezer topped the nation's gospel and sacred music charts. He continued to record albums including the award-winning Celebration and established the praise and worship genre in his country. 3 years later, his first live offering, 2000's I Feel Like Going On, was certified platinum at home. 2004's Oh, Bless Our God, multi-platinum, as did 2008's In His Presence. In 2012, Healing in His Presence included his mother, Grace, and the Dube Brothers, among others. In 2017, he issued the multi-platinum Spiritual Celebration Volume 1. Here's this week's top 10 gospel songs. Number 10, Jokia with Let Him In. 9, Ryan Andrew Wilson, The Ride. 8, Zacardi Cortez, You've Been Good. 7, Erica Campbell, Positive. 6, Maverick City Music and Kirk Franklin with Kingdom. 5, Brian Courtney Wilson, Sure As. 4, Doe, When I Pray. 3, Marvin Sapp, All in His Hands. 2, Todd Delaney featuring Smokey Norfolk, Satisfied. And our new number one song from Lamont Sanders, He Kept Me. Well, that's your top 10 songs and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station.
Hello, I'm Nina Taylor, your gospel news reporter. And you're listening to The Pastor's Corner with my friend, Elder Ernest Richard, on Elation Radio.
We'll be right back. I'm here.
All right, I got you here. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? I need your voice. I don't need a hand clap. I need your voice. We're having such issues. Can you hear me, Kimmy Kim? Yes, no, I'm not sure. Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Well, I appreciate you listening and answering me. This is why I like to have meetings before a show. It sounds a little ridiculous. I almost don't want this show to go on the air because it's a little crazy. But anyway, let's move forward. Welcome to the Pastor's Corner. I'm Bishop Ernest E. Richard, Jr. Thank you for taking the time to Nina Taylor, for making your presence known to me, and thank you for sharing with us. I do have a few people that may or may not be on, but let's find out who is here. Let me start off with someone who's in training at this present point in time to come and to actually accompany me on the regular on this show. She's been on with the ladies for a number of weeks, and you've heard her voice before. I want to say welcome, if she is here, to Pastor Anna Henderson. Pastor Henderson, are you with me?
Yes, sir, I am. Good evening. Good evening to each and every one on tonight. I am so glad to be a part on tonight.
Amen. And Pastor Henderson, I'm going to give you a minute to take over to find out who else is here while I set some things up. And after we get our introductions, Kimmy, you can get another song ready. And upon getting that next song ready, we are going to take a minute to get set up. We're going to close out this week, this month, should I say, with our subject, When God Calls You. So go ahead and find out who else is on. Give me a split second I should have did this earlier, but I got caught up in meetings and other things. The next thing you know, I was kind of sidetracked, and I do apologize. This is not usually the way we start, but we're going to fix this right now, and from this day forward, I got to make it my business to be here on time. So go ahead and find out who else is on for us, if you will, please.
Okay. Amen. We thank God for joining us on this evening. Let's see who else is joining us on tonight. Is Minister Henderson on with us tonight? Amen. Let's check and see if Pastor Wright, are you on with us tonight? Okay, if you're joining us down tonight, I know we're having a little difficulty, but nevertheless, we're going forth in Jesus' name. Amen. We rebuke this difficulty tonight, but God is in control, and we're going forward in the name of the Lord. Amen. If you're joining us tonight, amen, for the first time, or maybe you've been on with us before, amen, can you make yourself known at this time?
Good evening.
Good evening.
This is Apostle Marguerite Isaac calling in from the Tampa, Florida region.
Amen. Amen. God bless you all the way from Tampa, Florida. Amen. We've been praying for that region and that area. Amen. Thank you for joining us this evening. We're looking for a good discussion tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. Is there anyone else on tonight that's joining us, maybe for the first time, or maybe this is your second or third time joining us this evening? Amen. Well, we thank and praise God for those of you that are joining. We're thanking God for those of you that will be joining us a little later. So at this time, Dr. Kimmy Kim, we're going to let you play that track, and then we're going to come back with the Pastor's Corner, amen, for our discussion on tonight.
As I look out in the world, troubles are the same. I'm gonna fall down on my knees and call on Jesus' name. Now I'm here to testify. how he brought me through. What God did for me, he'll do the same for you.
The Lord, he worked it out.
Yes, he
for
did.
Without a doubt.
Without
the
a
Lord
doubt. Locked out in the cold. No peace within, no will to survive. But when Jesus came in my life, his love abides.
The Lord, he worked it out.
Yes, he
for
did.
Without
a doubt, gave me the victory.
The Lord has made a way.
Made a way. Yes, he did.
Oh, yes, I made it through the storm. The Lord, he worked it out.
Yes, he
for
did.
But God told me that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Now I can rejoice and shout, my God has worked it out.
Yes, he
did. He worked it out.
He worked it out.
He set me free. Gave me the victory. He healed my body. Make me whole. He brought me out. And he saved my soul. I will get
muffling a little bit.
I got it. I'm sorry. My fault. I got my headset too close to
acting like it don't want to do what it's supposed to. Guys, hear me okay now?
Yep, we can hear you.
Oh,
remember to take things out, certain things around. But still, we got the victory. We're going to move forward in Jesus. Pastor Henderson, how are you today?
Me? Yes, sir. Can you hear me, sir?
I can hear you now. I'm going to pray over this thing right here, right now. I'm sticking to the airwaves. Let's move forward. Let's pray before we go any further. Father God, in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Your love and kindness.
Mm-hmm. Lord Jesus.
Father God,
thank you, Jesus.
Today is the present. By you, God, we cast up every problem. Whatever it is that's causing problems, show in the charge and in care. We ask that you would open our eyes and we can out of thy law. God, take away anything that's disturbing or distracting in the name of Jesus. Bind up the hand of the adversary. These airwaves shall perform in the in which they were originally all back to you right here and right now in the precious table. Amen. Amen. Okay, my dear sister, can I hear you now?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
I heard Apostle Mark Isaac on here. Apostle Isaac, how are you?
I am well. I can hear the young lady very well, but you, I can very hardly hear. It's like you are way far away in a tunnel.
Better now.
I am doing well.
God bless you, Tom.
Can you hear me better now, Pastor?
You still sound the same. I know when you first came in, you were sounding distant, and then you sounded real clear for a moment. You said something about removing headphones or something, and you sound really clear and present. But as long as everybody else can hear you, I guess that's the main thing. Maybe it's just on my end that you sound that way.
No, it may not be.
But I'm grateful to be here.
I'm using a speakerphone at the moment. If I go back to the headset, whoever has a television on in the background, would help us a great deal. I greatly appreciate you. Thank you so much. And basically, we're trying to get to the show. I know we're having difficulty. And please forgive me for these crazy. As a rule, this doesn't happen, but it's just one of those things that, nonetheless, let us move forward. Today, we're going to go back. We got to close this thing out. We started talking about when God calls you, the backside of heaven. And we were in the third and the fourth chapter of the book of Exodus, talking about the life of a man by the name of Moses. Found out some things about Moses while we were kind of learning about him. So one of the things I found out that this man at one time had one of the finest educations lay hands on. There was another time when this brother was in the house of Pharaoh, literally in the house of Pharaoh, and was doing, you know, just kind of learning. We learned his story of how he got started, how God preserved him in a time when he should have been killed, when he should have been murdered. His own mother sent him down the river, put him in a bulrush or in a little basket and was waterproof, obviously. Turned around, was found by Pharaoh's daughter, who then brought him in, and of all people asked Moses' actual birth mother to care for Moses while he was there. Then we found out that somewhere down the line, Moses began to grow and saw some things, but in the meantime, keep in mind his mother was training him about his actual heritage, that he was not in fact Egyptian, but he was in fact a Hebrew. And somewhere down the line, Moses came into an encounter where an Egyptian was beating up on a Hebrew because the Israelite children were treated as technically slaves at that particular time. And so Moses took it upon himself to get justice for the Hebrew that was getting beat up. He murdered the man and then realized he had to leave because if he stayed where he was and Pharaoh found out that he had murdered an Egyptian, there was a possibility that Moses may have been put in jail or killed himself. Now, keep this in mind. He was supposed to be a son of Pharaoh's. So Moses, knowing his actual heritage, took in his indignation, rose up in him, and pushed him to the place of point. God set the stage for this man to now be put in a position to where he was ready to lead children of Israel. Now, I've got to say this. I know that's a lot to cover in a few minutes' time, but I'm going to go and start with Exodus chapter 3, verses 11 through 14. I got to look at 3:12 first. It says, "Certainly I will be with thee, and I will bring thee up out of the abyss." When Moses encountered God at the burning bush, God gave Moses some instructions and told Moses what he was going to do and how he was going to do it. And he began to ask questions. Now, let me ask you a question. Most of the time, when God is talking to us, are we in a position to receive what God has to say? Now, most people will say, yes, I'm always ready to hear from God. I always feel his anointing. But let's just get real, people. Sometimes God has to get your attention in certain areas and through certain aspects. And in this particular case, God got Moses' attention through a burning bush off to him. Has anybody on this line ever had the experience where God was trying to share with them and help them understand something, and it took a little minor lesson of life for you to understand what God is trying to say? Anybody beside me? Or am I the only one? You can talk. Anybody, open your mic.
You're not alone.
Amen. You're not alone. Yes.
Well,
yes. I think because.
Go ahead.
Yes, because when God speaks, oftentimes, you know, the Bible says his thoughts are not our thoughts. And so we may have one thought about the destiny that God has for us and the plans that we think God has for us. But then when God begins to speak to us and say, I'm going to send you here, I'm going to do this, or he begin to deal with you in dreams or begin to give you words through prophecy or through some other means, where, however he speaks, it doesn't always seem like it matches up to the thoughts that you thought God had for you or the plans you thought God had. And so it's always that contrast of being able to blend or being able to say, Lord, okay, say yes, because it's like, not the way that you were thinking he was going to do it. We always say, Lord, bless me. Lord, use me. Lord, take me higher. Lord, do this and do that. And then when he begins to do those things, it doesn't look like how we thought it was going to look. And so, you know, we find ourselves in that place of like Moses, you know, not really feeling sure that he could do what God was asking him to do.
All right. Apostle Isaac, want to add anything to that?
Yes, I was just listening to what she was saying, and that is so true. We think we know what it is, but when God actually speaks, if he actually calls us by the name, the identity he has for us, it actually becomes real then, and it is so much larger and more powerful than what our thoughts were, because like she said, the word tells us his thoughts are not ours, his ways are not ours. They're above that. They're super. They are transcendent. They are spiritual, and they can be overwhelming when we really do finally grasp of what God has for us. And it is very humbling. And that is actually a good thing, you know, when the Lord sees us kind of like become very humble, like, Lord, I don't think I can do that. And that's when we're actually in the perfect place to be used by Him, when we are overwhelmed in a good way because we've been overshadowed by His word on us. And so with that, there are, like you said, man of God, times that God calls us and we think we wanted it, or we thought we knew what it was, or we thought that we were always open to hear from Him. But when He speaks, like when He spoke to the children of Israel from the mountain, oh, they wanted to hear Him speak. Oh, but when He spoke, whoo, it was terrible. It was just awesome. They couldn't take it. And so then they wanted to hear His voice through a man, not from Him directly, because it's just not what we think it is. But God, He's so good that if we stay humble and know who He is, trust His nature, we can come to a place of resting that what He says about us is really true, and that His idea for us is good, and we don't have to fear it. We can receive what He has to say, no matter how strange it was, how strange of an idea, you know, it is, compared to what we thought.
Now,
oh, God.
I'm gonna, I know it was a lot, but it kind of understand. God gives us. But we're not always ready to use God's power as you. Moses, and we've been talking about this all much more. A lot of what we've already been over, but that reservation about his telephone speech, about that in the chapter. So he stuttered, and so it kind of made God a little cross on. It was as if Moses did not trust the power, the anointing, and the ability of God. So my next question is, do we ever find ourselves in a place God gives us an assignment where we feel like we're not capable, and so we start challenging God as if God had no idea what He was doing? And it kind of reminds me of what God did with Jeremiah, when He sent him down to the potter's house, and He had him observe the work of the potter, and He watched the potter put the clay on the wheel and clay on the wheel to make one particular thing. Somewhere in the middle of his molding, the clay got messed up, so the potter had to rework the clay. No, he didn't destroy the clay, take it off the wheel, and throw it back in the clay, but what he did was he literally started reworking that clay to become something a little different, just ever so slightly better than what it originally was. Is it possible that sometimes when God puts us on the potter's wheel of life, that we tend to try to tell God how we ought to be shaped, what we ought to look like? God, I should be standing before 150,000. I should be getting a $10,000 offering. God, I should have healing in my hands that if I went past somebody and simply said, they should fall out. Do we find ourselves, or do we know people who find themselves in that kind of condition? Talk to me, y'all. It's an open mic. Everybody open your mic, and come on, let's have a discussion here, because I know when we say radio, everybody wants to sit there like a panelist and wait for somebody to give them a question. No, I want to talk about it tonight.
I think that when God calls you, God already knows that He knows what you have. He knows the ability, because He told Jeremiah when you were in your mother's womb that He already knew everything about him. And so when He called Jeremiah, he was a child, so he felt inadequate because he was still a young person, probably did not feel fully developed or equipped to go to the people and in God's behalf. But God already knows, amen, what he has invested in us. And I think sometimes we don't, because we don't really know really what's on the inside of us. We feel insignificant. We feel that we lack the ability to accomplish the task, because the task sometimes seems greater than the ability that we possess. But God is like looking for us really to depend upon him, and not to depend on our ability, but to depend on his ability. So it becomes a training. It becomes a training when we just release to God and just say, Lord, I don't see it. I don't understand it. I don't know how you're going to do it through me. I don't know how you're going to do it with me, but I'm going to give you everything that I have. You know, it used to be a song, Lord, here I am, Lord, try me out and see won't I be completely yours. You know, and I think that's where God really wants his people, because a lot of people right now, I believe, feel like they're in that same place where Moses was on the backside of the mountain. They don't understand what God is doing. They know that they have a call in their life. They you know, they've been serving, and yet they feel like, you know, they're in a place now that feels uncomfortable to them, but God is really trying to get us to another higher dimension. And because it's unfamiliar, it's uncharted territory, we want to go, but we don't really know what to expect when we get there, but we're trying to make it all make sense when it really doesn't make sense. And so I think that God just wants us to just say, hey, don't try to figure it out. Don't try to understand it. Don't look at what you have in your pocket. Don't worry about what the ministry bank account has. Don't worry about what's in your bank account. Don't worry about what you think you have or what you know or any of that. And just trust me that I'm taking you to another dimension. And I think that requires us to really just have faith in God, to totally, totally, truly trust him when we can't trace him. Trust him when we don't understand why the wait. Why the wait, Lord? Because Moses waited, amen, 40 years before he ever went into the call of the service of what God actually called him to do. So I imagine that he really didn't understand what was really happening. And sometimes when we're in that waiting stage, we don't really understand what's really happening, but yet we know that the call is there, that God is doing something. So I think that when we just relinquish to God and say, Lord, I don't understand. I know you're doing something, and I'm just going to put it all in your hand. I think that's when we begin to recognize that really it has nothing to do about us. It has nothing to do about our ability to speak or ability to perform. It has all to do with our ability to trust God with everything we have, with everything who we are, to truly just rest in his ability and let him take control, and to bring us into that other call and bring us into his divine purpose.
Well, I greatly appreciate what you just shared. So we have to recognize the very fact, and let me there as to what you already said. God will prepare us for the task at hand. And stop and think about how God prepared Moses. I'm going to get back to some of what you just made mention of, but think about how God prepared Moses. He led this man into the backside of a desert. He led him out of Egypt, prepared him. It didn't take a day. It happened over time. And it wasn't through one event, but it was the process that this happened. And this shouldn't be as a singling out of just one example to prove a point. Moses took 40 years before God was ready to use him and to put him in a leadership role. He had to develop him. That took a process. Let's talk about other people where God had to take time. For example, Noah, 120 years before the rain that he had about actually fell and changed the face of the earth, send it in another direction. Let's look at Abraham. 5 years before the promised son ever showed up. You mentioned Joseph. You actually did mention Joseph, if I'm not mistaken, but I think that was last week. My mind went back a little bit, but still 14 years in prison for a crime he did not commit. And through all this, God was processing these individuals. And let's not forget about Job, between 60 and 70 years before God's justice actually prevailed. We like to grab the baby. God gave Job double for his troubles, but we never stop to think about the time that it took for God. Here's where I'm trying to make us understand. God prepares his leaders and those whom he puts in leadership. It's like as if God puts them in the crock pot of life. They slow cook and spill in the juice and the flavor. And those leaders who come up in microwavable fashion, sorry, you may be a little crusty around here. You may not understand a lot of what you need to do. You think you know, but you've not been through enough to really understand the way, the will, or the word of God. We've got to come to a place where we got to stop looking for the instantaneous and wait for God to shape, make, and mold us to, you know, kind of just give us those experiences in life that's going to shape us and get us ready. Real leadership does not just happen. It is literally developed. As you got crusty parts on you because you're dealing with the instantaneous and not the permanent, you have to understand that means you've not waited on God. You've not allowed God to process you through, to bring you to the point. I don't know about you guys, but I'm a city boy with a country heart. And sometimes my wife will make those beef short ribs. She don't stick them in the microwave and try to cook them as fast as she can. She puts them in the crock pot. And they may go in Saturday night, but Sunday afternoon when it's time for dinner, they are juicy, they are sweet, they are tender. Because the time it took to get that stuff ready so that I could enjoy it, Lord, have mercy. I'm about to make myself hungry.
Amen. Bishop, Bishop?
Go ahead.
Okay. I was just saying praise the Lord to everybody tonight. I wanted to let you know that I am extremely excited about this lesson because it is in the actual waiting on the Lord that we see his hand move. One of the things about Moses is Moses was after God's glory. He wanted God's glory to be on his life. And I think any time you do something without the glory of God, it is all flesh. It becomes where we have microwave preaching and we have all of these things. It used to be, like you talked about those ribs, it used to be you sat and prayed before you did anything. And most people today just do something without praying. And we can't allow God's glory to be seen if we don't take the time to pray. It's usually what I call the closet anointing. When you're in God or in a relationship, that God can get his glory through your life because you can hear him clearly speaking so that you don't become like what the world is created for these new ministers, where they can just go. But yet when you have a word from the Lord, everything ain't where you're going to be popular. Everything isn't going to be where you just have a good time. We have to take the time to enjoy his presence, his ability of being majestic, all that he is to us and not just what we want from him. That is the difference between what we saw in the process for Moses, for every good leader that he had, those that went and didn't even want to go. Jonah didn't want to go. He was like, I'm not going. But yet God's grace and mercy kept him in the midst of all that he did so that he can still become all God had him to be. And I think that's the message we definitely get from these processes of what we're seeing in Exodus 3 and 4, that God still is who he is, and he's still going to get out of our lives what we want if we yield to him. And listen, Jonah didn't even yield, but God said, I love you enough. And it's a message to those that believe that all hope is gone. I love you enough for you to become all that I created you to be. So I thank God for you all, and I thank God for this lesson. Be encouraged, and God bless you, Bishop, on tonight and all of you on the line.
Don't run away, Pastor Wright. As long as you possibly can. Tell your husband to come join us if he's available. But listen.
He's already here. He's already here.
All right, Pastor Don, get ready. I want to hear from you.
Yes, sir.
Think about this, y'all. Think about this.
Praise God.
I just,
go ahead.
Pastor Don. Give me a minute, Pastor Don. When we wait on
yes,
the
sir.
Lord,
go ahead.
It matures us. It matures our levels of perspective, and it broadens our understanding. We could say that when we're tested or in the test of time, that will determine whether we can endure seasons of unseemingly fruitful preparation. I mean, you're praying and you're fasting and you're reading and you're sharing and thing the word says to do, and it just seems like you're not going anywhere and nothing's getting done. And this helps to indicate whether you can recognize and seize opportunities that may come your way. God chooses a leader, and when he chooses that leader, he already knows of what sort that leader is, and he has already supplied what that leader may be lacking. You mentioned Jonah. I mean, we can go on down the line. We could talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three brothers who were refusing to bow down to the system. We have nowadays, in this day and age, people who are afraid to stand up for what is right. And when the man says, do this this way or else, the first thing they do, like a cheap suit, they rip and tear, and then they're going to bow down to whatever the man is saying. The Bible tells us to train our children up in the way they ought to go. The Bible tells us to discipline our children, and yet we're so afraid of the system because the man said, if you beat that child, you're going to jail. Well, Mr. Police Officer, let me help you up with something. Mr. So-called lawmaker, let me tell you a little bit of something. I'd rather discipline my child in love now than have you, and y'all please forgive my language right now, than have y'all beat the hell out of my kid and possibly kill him because you would not allow me to do my job. Yeah, I said it. Come on, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Amen. Amen.
Come on, bro. I'm sorry. How you doing?
I thank God for the old salts that are stepping up, the old generals. There are some people that have went to sleep, but there are still those that are still have the fire, that are not afraid of being bold and express what the Lord has given them concerning certain things concerning you were talking about disciplinary, your children and all that. All those things work, whether we believe it or not. Back in the day, that's how we came up. Amen. That's what kept us content, out of jail, I should say, and off the streets and from shooting dice and all those different things. I thank God that I came up in a neighborhood where folks checked on you. The neighbors checked on you, made sure that I'm watching you. You know, they opened the windows when the buses came down the street and all those different types of things, made sure that the children were where they're supposed to be, and they prayed, and they said, look, I see you throwing that rock over there. Put that rock down, whatever. You know what I'm saying? They made sure that they kept an eye on the neighborhood, and that's what we got to give action to. In reference to disciplinary children, all those different things, we talked about. We understand and hear that the government is changing things and all those different things and all that, but the old ways works in the Lord. Amen. So I just thank God for all those things. Those things are what kept myself out of jail and out of prison. Don't get me wrong. I did some things that was not pleasing to God, but I thank God that I remember back in the day of those days where I was in Sunday school and those days with YPPVU and those days of the Sunshine Band and all those different things when I was young. You hear what I'm saying? Those things would have kept me as right now today. Amen. So I thank God for those things, and I thank God for yourself bringing the word and helping us to continue to stay fast, continue to stay prayerful, continue to walk in the admiration of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Apostle Isaac,
you
want to add?
Well, I'm just listening in. And every time someone is speaking, I'm seeing and hearing, and my heart just rejoices that we are united in spirit as far as being passionate about really seeing the body grow up. God, as I was saying with you a couple of days ago, man of God, I ministered a word on Sunday that was basically about, you know, grow up and go up. We need to grow up. We need to mature in the things of God, in our relationship with God, in our ministry, in our service, so that we can go up. And so we were focusing on the glory aspect, that we were created for his glory. We were made for glory. We were created in glory. We're created to give him glory. We're created to serve in glory. We're created to walk, work for his glory. All these things, it's all about glorifying God. And so when you had asked the question that started this aspect of our response, you asked about, you know, getting that call or getting a word from the Lord. Have you ever gotten that and it didn't line up with what you wanted, or maybe you felt like you should be getting a $10,000 honorarium or speaking in front of, you know, large groups of people. And then there's that flip side where, like I'll say for myself, I that has never been my a fight or a question. I've been on the opposite side, which is, no, you know, Lord, I'm good right here. It's not so much that I would, I'm not to do that, but I would be like riding a thin line of saying, God, you know, no, I'm good. You know, like somebody asks you, would you like, you want some ice cream or something? In your heart, you kind of want some, but you're like, because you don't want, well, this is me speaking. I don't like to put anybody out. I don't like to be a burden. You don't want to, you know, be extra. So it's like, no, I'm good right here. I'm good, and I'll settle for this right here. And that way, I don't have to take a chance on disappointing you. I don't have to take a chance on make a mistake or something like that. This right here, I'm good at. So I just want to perfect and master this. But God, in his beautiful ways of dealing, his gentle ways, and then sometimes his very strong disciplinarian ways, has just brought me from that place really into the place where I am now, where if he says it, even though the initial time, if he says something to me, either through a prophetic word or a dream or something that I had no clue of, is brand new thought, you know, oftentimes I respond in shock and awe and be like, what? No. You know, but then I have to remember to whom I am dealing with. I'm dealing with the creator of the universe. If he says it, once he calls it, if he calls me to a thing, if he speaks the thing, that is his intention. That is his idea, first and foremost. So, therefore, it's good. And the power within that word that he spoke is great and capable of bringing it to pass. He doesn't need anything from me except for my agreement. Okay? His word in heaven is yes. This is what it is, and he lays out a whole agenda. My job is simply to say amen, to be like Mary was with Gabriel when she just said, you know, I have no clue how this is going to be done, but be it unto me according to your word, God. Just understanding that just by the power of his word, he has the ability to impart within my spirit every gift, every grace, all the anointing, the provision, everything. And he's already, if he says it, he intends for it to come to pass. So my job is simply to walk in the direction his word is pointing me in. And as I walk, he will build out the road. He will bring the people, the team, the resources, the support. My job is just to give the yes and to be the willing vessel. And so I'm learning. He knows what he's going to get from me. If he says something new, I'll be like, huh? Then I'll be like, okay. I know you're good for it. I can take your word to the bank. Yes, Lord. According to your word, let it be done in my life. And I just do my best to walk in faith and not wreck his plan or his nerves dealing with me. I'm done.
Let me throw this at you, Apostle and Pastor that are on here. You know, God, and that's the work. By the hand of God.
Yeah.
Buy into it. You just said it when you got a yes. That's our buy-in right there. And when God calls us, to give that yes, me, God, regardless of whatever it comes up to be, however it turns out, however it's got to be, yes, let's do this. Let's move forward. I just told me 45 years ago that I would be saved, or told me that 38 years ago I would become a priest. I would hope it was not out of the ever loving mind. The thing is, and I can't speak to the I asked for it. I wasn't trying to be a priest. I wasn't trying to be an elder. I wasn't trying to be a deacon. I wasn't trying to be a pastor. And I certainly wasn't trying to be a bishop. And even as I'm walking into the office of here and now in this young age, I'm seeing things now that are boggling my mind. And I'm hearing, some of you, I don't know if you've ever been on social media, take a trip every now and then. Don't go for any purpose. Take a trip and listen to some of the foolishness that goes on social media. You got these people who don't know their head from their elbow trying to explain about the lost books of the Bible, and they can't even live the 66 books that are available. Somebody help me out with this. Help me out with this. Tell me about this. And we have Chris.
I think, you know, the Bible says, lean into your own understanding and all your ways to acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. And sometimes I think people want to get ahead of the Lord and they lean to their own understanding or they want to be deep, deep, you know, but the roots are not really deep. And so, you know, everything should be rooted in God and to wait on the Lord. You know, the Bible says he calls the ending, you know, from the beginning, at the beginning. And so he was telling Moses at the beginning of his call what he was going to do. He was telling them that they were going to leave Egypt, you know, with the wealth. He was telling them that Pharaoh wasn't going to let them go. So he was speaking the end at the beginning. And so Moses, it was up to Moses then to, and when he answered, you know, he was having his excuses. About his condition, about his mouth, he couldn't talk. And God said, "Well, I made the mouth; I can fix that." So everything he had, God had a response to it because he's God. And I think we just need to let God be God and don't lean to our own understanding and trust His plan. Just trust Him. Truly, just be vulnerable. And as you said, just give Him that yes. And then as we wait on Him. And I heard Pastor Rice say, you know, stay in that posture of prayer. Stay in that posture of, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm seeking you all, every step of the way that you are leading. You're going to guide. You're going to give me the strength. You're going to give me the wisdom. You're going to speak to me. You're going to direct me. And trust him. And as we stay in that posture of prayer, it makes the wait become the wait, W-A-I-T, less weighty. So it doesn't, you don't carry, you're not carrying that weight because you're waiting in him. And it's different when you wait in the Lord than when you're just waiting for something to happen. But when you wait in God, he gives you peace. He helps you to carry that time. And I don't know if it felt like 40 years to Moses or not, but it was 40 years that had passed, but he was doing what he thought, you know, was just normal, you know, living life. He got married. He was a shepherd and was probably enjoying that life and not really knowing in fullness that everything that he was doing was preparing him for the next step in God, his assignment, and that was to go to Egypt. And so, you know, when we wait, God will, wait in him and just let God take the reins, because he knows the reins of our heart, then he will position us, amen, to go forward, and we won't have to have shipwreck in this journey while we're waiting. We just trust God that he's going to take us to where we need to be when we need to be there, and it'll be on time and in time, and God will get the glory in the end.
Ask another question.
Amen.
Can I just interject, Pastor?
All
right. And I just wanted to say, as well as I understand everything the young lady was saying, as well as we have to, as ministers, as pastors, as teachers, as leaders, we have to change with the times of sands of time. Understand that we have old ways that we're doing things, but we have to go back to those ways in a different way. Doing the same thing, when we came up, we had, I was talking about the teachings of how we taught classes and teaching the young. We were taught how to go and read from the Old Testament, know all the books of the Old Testament, learning from A to Z, from Genesis to the end of Malachi. He had to know those, who what the order of that, and study that and come back. And everybody in the classroom had to say and recite from Genesis to Malachi. You understand what I'm saying? That's the thing that we have to get back to. We have to use different strategies to teach our young generation, because we're dealing with different eras not right now. Whereas we were so easily to be taught, right now we got a generation that's in a rebellious state of mind. You know, they've been through so much different stuff with abuse and all those different things. So their mind has been conformed to different things, and they're not just going to be one that's going to be just maybe like we were, just sit in a classroom and listen and all the different types of things. We have to come a different way of teaching and explaining, and give them a chance to explain as well. Give them a voice, because back in the day, we were told that our adults are speaking and we don't say nothing. We just listen, you know. So things have to change a little bit concerning the youth, because they're our future. Amen. They are our future. So we have to change up a little bit so they can understand their purpose too as well, because they're going to be the ones that are going to be taking over the next generation. Amen. So that's what I feel. Not to change anything in the Bible, none of that, but to just teach a little differently so they can understand as well.
Yeah. I want to throw something on there that you said. I mean, when we came up, I'm sorry, I just turned my mind back. When we came up, encountered what's called the village principle.
That's true.
God calls us. God sends helpers. Moses had Jethro as a minister, had Aaron as a helper. He had his own area. Had her. Not about him, but if you go back to the battle, I'm trying to remember which battle it was, where Moses and the Israelites were in battle, and Moses held his hands up. Israel was winning the battle, but when it started getting heavy, they started losing the battle. So a young man by the name of Ben-Hur, that's actually what his name was, and Aaron held his hand. And an individual named his name was Joshua. Joshua studied what God was doing to Moses. I don't even know if Joshua was going to time and become the of the Israelites at that particular time. And Joshua had somebody. He had Caleb. So what I'm saying is, God would send individuals to help you whatever your task is. Turns around and builds on our strength, builds on our experiences, builds on our background. Some of us don't have the sweetest background you've ever seen. Some of us have been
in right.
tragic situation. Some have been
catastrophic.
Yes, whatever the case may have been, God has used whatever you had to do with in life, and he has turned it around so that your now here you are. Which one of us thought we were going to be leaders at this stage of life? Everybody, I want to hear everybody, including you, Dr. Kimmy Robinson. Which one of us thought we were going to become leaders? I never thought about it, never gave it a thought, did not bother to even let it cross my mind, because at that time, I did not care. Come on, bro, talk to me.
Yeah, me neither.
Come on. Go ahead. Once you start talking, don't stop. Put it out.
So in response to, you know, I was listening to what Pastor was just saying about the teaching has to adjust to the time. And, you know, and this, I guess, was really in response to what you were saying, Bishop, about people or having these people on social media and these other platforms that want to go into teach about the lost books of the Bible or come out with all of these different deep revelations of things, but they're not even living the basics, let alone trying to go and make up something else to try to get people to live by. One of the things that I learned or God has shown me anyway, and that I encourage our leaders to do, or I at least encourage them to understand, is that in order to get people to really listen to us, we have to, first of all, we have to have influence with them. If we want to try to teach them anything, we have to first have influence with them in order to establish any kind of authority where they would listen and do what we are recommending and believing that what we are recommending, rather, is the best thing for them. So when I'm talking with our leaders about doing the teaching the Bible and stuff, I have to remind them that guess what? When we are telling people, well, the Bible says this and the Bible says that, not how do you know whether or not they first and foremost even believe that the Bible is the divinely inspired word of God? And so I believe that we're having a struggle with a lot of our powerful young men and women of God who should be sold out for the Lord and just living the gospel and proclaiming the gospel. We're losing them because many of them do not even believe the Bible is the actual word of God. First, they have, it's like they, it has to go hand in hand. In order to believe in the God of the Bible, you have to believe that the Bible is his word. In order to believe that the words of the Bible, you have to believe in the God of the Bible. And so it goes hand in hand. So I find that a lot of the teaching that needs to be done needs to be where we are first establishing the authority of the Word of God, of the Bible, with those whom we are seeing out there teaching about the lost books and all these other things. We have to kind of teach them why they are considered apocryphal and what that really means. Not that they don't have any validity and not that they don't have any value, but why they are not in the closed canon and why and what the measuring rod was for even establishing that this is the divinely inspired word. And then finding a way of engaging them in a way that does not on the defensive or put them on in a debate mode, but actually appeals to their intellect sometimes. Now, hear me when I say, we know it's the Spirit of God that's going to bring the salvation in, right? But the times that we're living in is an information age. And the enemy of of the Spirit of the Living God is inundating people with the love of knowledge, believing that knowledge is power, when really it's knowledge is not power. Truth is power. Okay, there's a lot of knowledge going on out there, and so when you appeal to these people that love to dig and get this knowledge about the lost tribes and all this other stuff, appeal to their desire for truth, and then having conversations with them about, I mean, real genuine conversations where we're listening with a genuine interest to learn. What is appealing about this? Why do you really believe this? Why is your faith in this right here that you believe is so true? And then, you know, hopefully be able to build a relationship with them where they honor your respect of them so much that they will then listen when you share with them, you know, let me tell you what I know about even the process of the development of the Bible and why we believe that the Word of God is true. But not even just that, really setting our God apart by his character and his nature and his great works, his love, his awesomeness compared to any of their other gods or any of their other beliefs, the New Age theology and the holes in their so-called gospel. But sometimes I believe we just have to not, you know, beat our young ones up, but tell them how much, you know what, I really respect just how amazing and brilliant your mind is and how thirsty you are and hungering for knowledge. Well, let's now engage and make sure that the thirst for this knowledge is also that the thirst for truth and righteousness and true salvation and, you know, abundance of living that brings generational, you know, abundant life and legacy that will just change the trajectory of your family name, that is really your pursuit and not some blackism and Black Hebrew Israel or anything else that is sectarianism. It's divisive. It's not God's idea. It's not God's idea. I guess I said all that to say, we're in an information age, and these people are hungry for knowledge, but we've got to help them to develop an appetite for truth, and then I believe they may be more open to the Spirit of the Living God and seek him in what they're reading and not just the knowledge that they're getting through all of these debates and conversations.
Can I just want to say, too, that in agreement with her, the youth and the generation behind us are looking for authenticity. They're looking for realness. That's what they're looking for. They want to really see that the things that you, like you said earlier, that the things that you preach about, are you really sincere and living that in front of them? Because they've seen so much down through the years in their generation. So now they're looking for authenticity and realness. We're not looking for anything that's not sure and fake and phoniness. That's what's going on with our generation. Amen.
I'm going to have to hold everybody right there. Pastor Don. Isaac, I heard Pastor Wright, Pastor Henry, who are mentors. There was a man by the name of Paul Artifice, of in. I want to finish with my favorite play I took. Barack Obama turned around and when he added this, he says that it's nowhere monument. Nothing. What I'm trying to say is those of us that are not taking God has called us to the backside of the desert to help us to recognize and recognize the times of understanding, knowledge, revelation and illumination. And God's expecting every one of us to turn around and pass that baton to the next generation. Generations X, Y, and Z should not be lacking because of our, when I say our spoken, I'm talking about my generation, because of our spoken. So in this portion, we have to come back and pass it. Because next week, next month, we were going to talk about Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. We were for time, and it was out. I need volunteers. So this is my way of thinking, my way of thinking. Well, nobody, I guess I'm going to have to. All right. Those of
you. You're breaking up, Bishop. I can't.
Right. Yeah. Still breaking up.
A little bit, yeah. I hear you down though.
Right.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. And I called it. Hey, sorry, spirit man. That's it.
No, I'm breaking up. I feel still.
Find ourselves in God is wanting to have that in every one of us. And so all I'm asking you to do is to acknowledge the fact that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. And in knowing that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, we have to turn around and believe that God sent his son Jesus to die for your sins. The last thing you need to recognize is because you believe Jesus died for your sins, now you want to confess him as Lord. And there is a very simple thing. Romans 10, chapter 10, verse 8 says, what saith it? The word is nigh thee and even in thy mouth. That is the word of faith that we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It is with your heart that you believe unto righteousness, and it is with your mouth you make the confession unto salvation. So I'm going to ask that God has given you to believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Do you wish to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you do, just simply say, dear God in heaven, I acknowledge the fact that I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died for my sins. Today I confess Jesus as Lord because I believe that he died for my sins. I thank you for allowing Jesus to become the Lord of my life. Now teach me how to live for you, that you may be glorified in my life. I thank you by faith that I receive Christ as my Savior, and from this day forward, I renounce all my sins from the past, my sins in this present, and any in the future. I renounce the devil's foolishness in my life,
and I surrender to you here and now, for it's in Jesus' name I am praying. Amen. Now, Father God, for those who may have heard and those who may have acknowledged, those who may have given their heart back to you and allowed you, Lord Jesus, to be the Lord of their life, we ask that you would thrust the perfect laborer into their lives, minister to them, share with them, help them to see, know, and understand what it is that you are saying in your word. God, develop them. God, mold them, shape them, put them in a position where they can be effective for the kingdom. Do this for us, and we'll be ever so grateful to give thy name the praise, for it's in the mighty, matchless, majestic name of the Lord Jesus Christ we do pray. Amen and amen. I want to thank Apostle Margaret Isaac, of course, Pastor Anna Henderson, first and foremost, Pastors Michelle and Don Wright for sharing with me. Thank you, Sister Kimmy Kim, for producing. I know we got off to a rough start, but to God be the glory. We got it all straightened out. I pray that you will all join us at 10 p.m., and I want to make an announcement, two of them to be exact, on next Saturday evening, and it should be placed on social media. Hollerback Production is doing their 16th annual Hollerback Music Excellence Award, of which I've been blessed with Dr. Jerry Green to be a co-host of that particular show. We pray that you'll come in and that you will join us. Ja'Kalen Carr is our special guest for that particular night. But please do not forget prayer line, the Power to Stand prayer line. That number is 701-801-9814. Tomorrow at 12 noon, we have an extremely special guest coming to share a word with us in the person of Prophet Jerry Isaac, and he hails him. And Apostle Isaac, are you still here?
Yes, sir.
Apostle Isaac. All right, talk to us about your church. I meant to have you share with us a little bit about your ministry, where you are, and share with us about that wonderful husband of yours, because he's going to be with us on our prayer line tomorrow. We want to make sure that you do not miss this. Do not miss this. What did I just say? Let me say it again. Do not miss this. Come on, share with us and talk to us and let us know a little bit about what's going on.
Amen. Well, tomorrow, my husband has the honor of being able to just bless the people of God however the Lord desires him to, whatever aspect of his multiple testimonies that he has to share about the saving, delivering, a healing power of God. My husband, he is a humble a man of God. He didn't grow up in the church. He grew up in the streets pretty much. And God has blessed him to save his life and to take him through times where he even had to serve time in prison. And he used to be a Muslim at one point and became an imam and even assisted to bring some changes in the prison where he was at as an imam. And, you know, but he had an encounter with God. And, oh, my goodness, ever since he had an encounter with God in 2005, his life has not been the same. So he is actually from Tampa, Florida, and I met him when we lived in Delaware. And when I met him, he said he would never go back to Tampa because he knew that there was people that would love to have the glory of taking him out because of his past life. But God, he just had a work for us to do here in Florida and want my husband to be a sign and a wonder of the empowering conversion power of God. So we've been here since 2013, where we planted a ministry, Crossover Empowerment Kingdom Ministries, where we reproduce reproducers, and we have the pleasure of leading some of the most amazing leaders in the kingdom of God and help them to do what God's called them to do. So I am honored, my husband's honored, Bishop Richard, to be in your service and in the service of the Lord and the people of God tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to whatever God is going to say through him to encourage somebody's soul tomorrow.
And we do bless God for him. Such a wonderful spirit. When you get to hear him, you get to know him. I've only known him for a very short amount of time. And I'll be honest with you, I feel like I've known him for decades. But to God be the glory. That's 12 o'clock noon. We are going to start. We'll have a couple of people pray. Our facilitator is Evangelist Lauren Bishop. She will be facilitating tomorrow. I will be there. And I'm one of those leaders that believes in allowing the gifts of our people to flourish, to come forward. I don't have to shine all the time. Neither do I have to be in the limelight. All I know is simply this. When God sends you help, you put the help to use. Amen and amen. That's tomorrow at 12 noon. That number again, 701-801-9814. Dr. Kimmy Robson, please prepare our outgoing song as I give this final salutation. Pastor Henderson, anything you want to add before we leave?
Amen. We thank and praise God for each one that has joined us on the panel tonight. Amen. We look forward to you being with us on next Thursday. Amen. Invite a guest to come. Amen. And share in this glorious fellowship. Amen. As Bishop has said, on next week will be October. So we will be starting at 9 o'clock. Amen. Instead of 10 o'clock.
That's November,
so we thank
dear
and
heart.
God.
That's November.
Oh, is that December?
I'm sorry.
Oh, November.
Yeah.
We're going to do November.
It's in November.
Okay.
Yes, we're going to do November.
Okay. Okay, so we still
but
have 10
you.
O'clock.
I
okay, I'm looking for that 9 o'clock.
Me too. You
amen.
Me
10
both.
O'clock for the month of October. Amen. Well, we're looking forward to each one of you that were here tonight to join us on next week. Amen. For another good topic. Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you. In Jesus' name, be blessed.
As we always say, as we sign off in the course of your week, you keep the pedal to the metal, the pep in your step, keep the glide in your stride, just enjoy life's ride, keep the smoke in your stroke, don't you dare let life cause you to choke, yesterday's history, forget about it, tomorrow's a mystery, stop worrying about it, bless God for the gift going today, live it to the fullest, remind the devil he's defeated, Jesus Christ is still Lord, God is still in control, you have an anointing, you've been purposed with a destiny, God expects you to fill it to its max. Let the manifestation and the glory of God live in your life, work through your life, and be part of your life as we move forward. Till next week, I'm Bishop Ernest E. Richards saying, God's peace go with you. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, please fire off that song. It's in your court. Lord, where are you, Sister Kimmy? Did you fall asleep? Panel, thank you for being here.
What a blessing, it's only you, oh how you reign in my life today, I choose you Jesus, it's only you,
it's you, it's you, it's you.
Da da da. happiness. What more can I ask for? If only you. You gave me love.
Love, love, love.
So I